Amber Arellano, who is the executive director of the Michigan Trust Midwest. Amber, I probably just made your name just horribly wrong. Pronounce that for me.
It's Arellano, but it's absolutely fine. I'm used to it. No problem.
Arellano. All right.
Arellano.
All right. I'll keep working on it. tell us what you do at the Education Trust Midwest, which is located in Royal Oak.
Yeah, we are an education research and policy and advocacy organization, and we're focused on improving public education for all Michigan students, particularly for low-income students.
What's your perspective on the budget from Governor Rick Snyder in regards to K-12 funding?
We're delighted that he's going to put more money in education, and he's got a lot of good things in that the budget. We really like the idea of putting more money into advanced placement classes. Rigorous academic instruction is one of the most important predictors of college success for kids. So we know lots of Michigan schools, middle class and low income schools, don't have, they don't even offer advanced placement classes. So the kids in those schools are at a real disadvantage, and we really should be expanding advanced placement access for all of our students.
It's interesting that you're delighted with a 1% increase, yet State Representative Ellen Lipton, who's the Democratic Vice Chair of the School Aid Appropriations Subcommittee, was really, really disappointed by that amount. She thinks it should be a lot more.
Well, I mean, we wish it would be more, but I think given the projections, the state budget deficits over the next several years, I think it's going to be a really tough battle for everyone who wants more money and investment in sort of important areas of our public infrastructure. I do think that there are ways to find cost savings in our existing budget and our existing systems, and that takes time. And I think that Governor Snyder's and his team are working on those things, and those things are going to need investment too. I mean, the truth is we would like to see him put money into some other things, like supporting this new statewide teacher evaluation system, and some things like that. Teacher quality is the number one in school predictor of student achievement. So we clearly have to do a better job in instruction and supporting our teachers and helping them get better in their practice. So we would like to see more money in some of those areas. But at the same time, we're glad that we're not seeing more cuts. We're glad that hopefully this is the bottom for Michigan.
Why isn't more money put into pre-K?
I think there are a lot of reasons for that. I think with the recession over the last several years, I think it's been really painful for lots of really important areas. And I also think that there have been real sort of wrestling over whether to put more money into pre-K and K-12 versus in things like incarceration, the prison systems, which is just gobbling up the state budget, the safety net. I mean, these are hard decisions, so I certainly don't envy state lawmakers.
There was a story that I read, and it kind of slid by the news, I think, a little bit. There was a new National Assessment Education Progress Exam, and according to this exam, test scores have dropped sharply when it comes to our children, especially kids from pretty good school districts. Tell us about this exam and what the findings were.
Yeah, so this is what's called the NAEP. It's our only national assessment, and it's the only test that we have that can tell us how our kids are doing compared to their peers in other states. And this data came out late last year. We spent a couple months digging into it and looking at trends. And, you know, one of the things that was really surprising was that it's not just our low-income kids and our African-American and Latino kids who are struggling, but our white kids and our higher-income kids have also been declining compared to their peers around the country. So, for example, in 2003, Michigan white students were 13th in the country in fourth grade reading, and by 2011, they had fallen to 35th in ranking in that same topic and for that same grade.
This is a dramatic drop. Why?
That's a huge drop.
What happened?
Well, what's happened is that other states have been really outpacing us in student achievement. And so we've been pretty much treading water. Our learning has remained stagnant, and for most grades and subjects, and other states' kids have been really outpacing ours. And, you know, this is why we have been pushing for more state leadership and more state investment in education, because other states have been really innovative in what they've been doing, what they've been investing in, building systems that actually help teachers improve their practice, give them more support, and invest in things like a more rigorous instruction, which is really important for kids and learning. So I think we've got a lot to learn from some of the leading states in this front.
Earlier this morning, we had a superintendent on, and she was from the Inkster Schools, and we had her comment on the Baylor-Woodson Elementary School, mm-hmm. which took your education, which took your Dispelling the Myth Award. Tell us about that.
That is a terrific school. That really is a model for Michigan schools around the state. Baylor-Woodson is a high poverty school. 98% of its kids are African American. 84% of their kids are low income. Many of their kids come from the city of Detroit. They have a few dozen buses crisscross the city of Detroit every morning to pick up kids, to take them there, because it is a school of choice and people come from all over to go there. And yet it is achieving at such high levels that it's really achieving at a very affluent upper middle class level. For example, its performance is comparable to Morse Elementary in Troy, Michigan, which only has a 24% poverty rate. Allard Elementary in Hudsonville, Michigan, only has an 18% free and reduced lunch rate. Or Hampton Elementary in Rochester, Michigan, which only has a 27% poverty rate. And I think what's partly remarkable about Baylor-Woodson is that it's made this transformation a really often painful and difficult, but eventually really rewarding transformation over the last 8 years within its existing budget.
Well, what I got from that superintendent was that she didn't mention money once. She mentioned having goals, a vision, bringing in the right teachers who really wanted to be there, and focusing on teaching the kids. And when I talk to many other folks in education, I always hear money is the issue.
Mm-hmm. 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 I mean, money helps, no doubt. There's no doubt about that, and that's why parents, you know, work really hard to live in a district or send their with good schools or send their kids to a private school. But we know the research shows, and schools like Baylor-Woodson show, that it's certainly not the only thing that leads to good performance, and it's often not the most important thing. So that's why, you know, we haven't, you know, we've been pleased about a little bit more money for schools, but we also know that we've got to do more with the money that we have, and that's what Baylor-Woodson has done so well.
Well, Misha Bashir is the Inkster Public School Superintendent, and she wanted me to thank you for that award. They appreciate it, and they're working hard to teach their kids.
They're doing a great job, and we're hoping to do a community event there later this spring to let, you know, and parents around the region and the state to come and see how they're doing their work and doing such a great job.
Thanks so much, Amber. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Tony.